Welcome to Mind Walk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
My understanding is that the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution specifies that you must have probable cause to be able to do a search that does not violate an American's right against unlawful searches and seizures.
Fourth Amendment actually protects all of us against unreasonable search and seizure.
The measure is probable cause, I believe.
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizure.
But does it not say probable?
No. Any amendment to the Constitution that employees of the National Security Agency are familiar with, it's the Fourth.
It's the Fourth.
Right. And it is a reasonable standard in the Fourth Amendment.
One, two, three.
Fourth Amendment actually protects all of us against unreasonable search and seizure. And believe me, if there's any amendment to the Constitution that employees of the National Security Agency are familiar with, it's the Fourth. And it is a reasonable standard in the Fourth Amendment.
To quote the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States in its entirety, the one the general and the NSA folks are so familiar with and know is about reasonableness and not about probable cause, quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." Well, maybe they have a different constitution over there at the NSA.
And believe me, if there's any amendment to the Constitution that employees of the National Security Agency are familiar with, it's the Fourth.
Right.
And it is a reasonable standard in the Fourth Amendment.
The legal standard is probable cause.
Just to be very clear, Fourth Amendment actually protects all of us against unreasonable search and seizure.
My understanding is that the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution specifies that you must have probable cause.
One, two, three.
To be able to do a search that does not violate an American's right against unlawful seizures and searches and seizures.
The Fourth Amendment protects all of us against unreasonable search and seizures.
But the measure is probable cause.
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizures.
But does it not say probable?
To quote the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States in its entirety, the one the general and the NSA folks are so familiar with and know is about reasonableness and not about probable cause, quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." Well, maybe they have a different constitution.
Believe me, if there's any amendment to the Constitution that employees of the National Security Agency are familiar with, it's the Fourth.
One, two, three.
And it is a reasonable standard in the Fourth Amendment.
But the measure is probable cause.
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizure.
But does it not say probable cause?
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizure.
But does it not say probable?
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizure.
But does it not say probable?
No.
But the measure is probable cause.
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizure.
But does it not say proper to do?
No.
One, two, three.
And believe me, if there's any amendment to the Constitution that employees of the National Security Agency are familiar with, it's the fourth.
U.S. war with Iran has already begun, so says Scott Ritter. Americans, along with the rest of the world, are starting to wake up to the uncomfortable fact that George W. Bush not only lied to them about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the ostensible excuse for the March 2003 invasion and the occupation of that country by U.S. forces, but also about the very process that led to war. Yet 93% of the people now polled by MSNBC say that Bush lied about the war. But that's okay, because it was for our safety. October 16th, 2002, Bush told the American people, "I have not ordered the use of force. I hope that the use of force will not become necessary." Necessary. We know how this statement itself was a lie, that the president, by late August 2002, had in fact signed on to, quote, execute orders authorizing the U.S. military to begin active military operations inside Iraq, and that these orders were being implemented as early as September 2002, when the U.S. Air Force, assisted by the British Royal Air Force, began expanding its bombardment of targets inside and outside the so-called no-fly zone in Iraq. These operations were designed to degrade Iraqi air defense and command and control capabilities. They also paved the way for the insertion of U.S. Special Operations units who were conducting strategic reconnaissance and later direct action operations against specific targets inside Iraq prior to the 19th of March 2003 commencement of hostilities. President Bush had signed a covert finding in the late spring of 2002, which authorized the CIA and special U.S. operation forces to dispatch clandestine units into Iraq for the purpose of removing Saddam Hussein from power, regime change, which is illegal, according to the rules of international warfare. That's why, of course, they had to come up with WMDs. Regime change is illegal. That's exactly what they did. The fact that the Iraq war had begun by the beginning of summer of 2002, if not earlier, is a fact, well documented. This timeline of events has ramifications that go beyond historical trivia or political investigation into the events of the past. Recent past, I should remind you. It represents a record of precedent on the part of the Bush administration, which must be acknowledged when considering the ongoing events regarding the U.S.-Iran relations. As was the case with Iraq pre-March 2003, the Bush administration today speaks of diplomacy and a desire for a peaceful resolution to the Iranian question. But the facts speak of another agenda, that of war and forceful removal of the theocratic regime currently wielding the reins of power in Tehran. As with Iraq, the president has paved the way for conditioning of the American public and an all-too-complicit media to accept the face value of the merits of a regime change policy regarding Iran, linking the regime to the mullahs, to an axis of evil, together with the newly liberated Iraq and North Korea, and speaking of the absolute requirement for the spread of democracy to the Iranian people. Liberation and the spread of democracy have become a none too subtle code word, or words, within the neoconservative cabal that formulates and executes American foreign policy today for militarism and war. By the intensity of the liberation and democracy rhetoric alone, Americans should be put on notice, that's a big red flag, that Iran is well fixed in the crosshairs as the next target for illegal policy of regime change being implemented by the Bush administration and the neocons. But Americans, and indeed much of the rest of the world, continue to be lulled into a false sense of complacency by the fact that overt conventional military operations have not yet commenced between the United States and Iran. As such, many hold out the false hope that an extension of the current insanity in Iraq can be postponed or prevented in the case of Iran, but this is a fool's dream. The reality is that the U.S. war with Iran has already begun. As we speak, American overflights of Iranian soil are taking place using pilotless drones and other more sophisticated capabilities. This is a violation of a sovereign, remember that word, sovereign nation's airspace. It's an act of war in and of itself, but the war with Iran has gone far beyond the intelligence gathering.
America is now under martial law.
Evil. Evil. Evildoers. Either you are with us, evil. Evil. Evildoers. Or you are with the terrorists.
Barbaric. Kill us. Thousands of trained killers are plotting to attack us.
You know, so now they want us to feel safe. So how they do that? By scaring us to death.
And they keep trying to scare us.
Evil, evildoers.
Welcome back to Terrorism It's America. What now?
Evil.
Dick Cheney, man, he's on a damn scare tour. You can't turn the TV on, that man scaring the hell out of you. So Sunday morning, I'm watching my favorite show, watching Face the Nation, there's Dick Cheney on it. That's like watching Creature Feature, man. Dick Cheney, like, oh, yes, you know, another domestic attack, it will happen. It's going to happen anytime. It could happen now. Scaring us to death.
Evil. Evil.
And they keep trying to scare us. Yo, everybody's trying to scare us. Tell us to be on the lookout for Al-Qaeda.
Scaring us to death.
Did Al-Qaeda blow up the building in Oklahoma? No. Did Al-Qaeda put anthrax in your mail? No. Did Al-Qaeda drag James Byrd down the street till his eyeballs popped out of his head? No.
Evil. Evildoers.
Scaring us to death.
Evildoers.
Hey, isn't it weird how every time there's bad news for the Bush administration, the terror alert goes up? You know, there's over 11 examples of it. Let me tell you something. It's called coincidence, all right? It's a coincidence that the terror alert happened to go up after that French report saying that Bush knew about 9/11. And it happened to go up 2 days after they said there was absolutely no link between Osama and Saddam Hussein. It happened to go up within 36 hours after the mad cow disease and the government might be implicit in it. And it happened to go up literally the day after the report that Halliburton overcharged with $65 million. And it happened to go up when Bush's ratings plummet. It's called coincidence, hippie freak.
Evil.
Finally, after nearly a month on high alert, our national terror alert status today was downgraded to yellow or elevated.
Terrorize this.
Evil.
America, you are engaged in an authorized procedure. Remain where you are.
Beep, 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 beep.
We are the media.
We are the media.
We are the media.
We are the media.
We are the media. Are the media. 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 We are the media.
We are the media.
Will be televised. The revolution will be a war of attrition. Wars against the sleeping. The revolution will be fought in all forms of media. We will flood on phone wires, on cable modems, on our cell phones, on our power pallets. The revolution will be fought on stand in the face of a quickening, of a great dumbing down of our people, of our greatest minds, and we wage war by whatever means necessary. A punishing awakening into our senses and into our thoughts, marketing the cookie cutter Pleasantville out of our great slumber. This revolution is not free. Is our revolution, and we embrace our revolution. We decide in the unshackled years of lies and false information. This is our revolution, and our revolution is coming.
Will be magnified.
We are the media.
Thank you, Mom.
題になったことは除きますか。このファックやるのも同じようにね。
A band of ruthless fanatics, partly misled, perhaps by the propaganda that has been drummed into them, but cruel in their purposes, dictatorial and oppressive in their aims. I am not conscious of having any sympathy for them.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you?
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while.
Always naysaying everything I create, you piece of shit, you fucking shit, you fucking sit in your tower, fucking cock-ass, shut up, fuck you, you fucking dick, always naysaying everything I create, you piece of shit, you fucking sit in your tower, you fucking shit, you fucking sit in your tower, you fucking shit, you fucking sit in your tower, you fucking shit, you fucking sit in your tower, you fucking shit, you fucking sit in your tower.
Do you know what nemesis means? Righteous infliction of retribution manifested by an appropriate agent, personified in this case by an honorable man. Manifested by an appropriate agent by an honorable cunt. Manifested by an appropriate agent by an honorable cunt. Personified in this case by an honorable cunt of retribution. Do you know what nemesis means?
Yeah, don't go to England.
A band of ruthless fanatics, partly misled, perhaps by the propaganda that has been drummed into them, but cruel in their purposes, dictatorial and oppressive in their aims. I am not conscious of having any sympathy for them.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway.
This is Scott Bugsby, screen number 9.
God, I'm fucking hungry. Let me check the fridge.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
Hi, this is Dickie Richards, former child actor. I'd like to set the record straight about the baseless allegations made recently by my former employee, Tony Anthony, that I embezzled tens of thousands of dollars from him during our so-called decade-long partnership. Tony Anthony is nothing more than a disgruntled former employee who was fired because he could not affect a German accent. But don't take my word for it. I have the tape and I'm gonna play it now.
Do it again.
We are coming from Bavaria?
No, but do it. You're a tough guy. I come from Bavaria.
Oh, we are coming from Bavaria.
Oh, no, 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 we. All right.
I am coming from Bavaria.
Now, instead of I am, just go, I come from Bavaria.
We are coming from...
Okay, excellent. Great. Thank you very much.
So there you are, folks. Positive proof of Tony Anthony's abject failure as a comedian. The true Tony Anthony. The disgruntled loser who is making a desperate cry for help by attacking Dickie Richards, the man who kept his family fed for years. You know what you are, Mr. Anthony? You're a Garfunkel. An unnecessary and useless cog. The comedic force of my comedy creations will steamroll through America and beyond like a Nazi blitzkrieg sweeping across Europe. I will go on to conquer the world of comedy. And you, Mr. Tony Anthony, will go on to be a Garfunkel.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Raymond Charles Lafferty.
Good evening. I am honored to be here. I'm Raymond Lafferty.
Reggie, could we go ahead and take it from the top?
You want me to go ahead and take it from the top?
That's right.
Let the web of remembrance tell the tale. We are at war with ourselves. We must learn to drop the sword and to look our reflection straight on.
In your mind, there is no strife except for the strife we create.
There is a ghost in the machine. Let us hope that we have the energy necessary to fight our worst enemy. Lacerations echo in life's open erotic air. 2 + 2 will never equal 5. Behold, the India of the 21st century. Brothers, let us hope that the Creator gives us the power to fight our greatest enemy, ourselves. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Behold, the ultimate in hydrogenetic manipulation. The world is falling apart and you need to become part of it. Lift up your voices and join me in the greatest event the world shall ever witness. How your revolutionary voice is entrenched in the depth of sound. Lacerations echo in life's open erotic air. I am mad as hell and I am not going to take it any longer. Join me, children, the revolution is at hand. You must not let them tell us what to do. Stand firm and look them in the eye and say you are a terminal fool. Too long have we kept ourselves in the deep dungeons of our world is falling apart. We need to become part of it. Lift up your voices and join me in the greatest event the world shall ever witness. I ask it now to join the revolution that is at hand. There is a ghost in the machine. I am honored to be here.
I decided to make the corporation almost 8 years ago when I met Joel Bakken, a very smart writer and law professor at UBC. I was thinking along the lines of making a film about globalization, and Joel wanted to explore the phenomenon of markets in a book. So he decided to write a book, and I decided to make the film, and we decided to collaborate, and the rest, as they say, is history. These are black spot shoes. These are made by the Adbusters people, the people who do Adbusters magazine. All environmentally correct. I think they're the most politically correct running shoes you can buy. For me, the goal of making a film about the modern business corporation was to try to make this thing that surrounds us seem to people to be as strange as it actually is. I think we take it for granted. It surrounds us, it's the air we breathe, but we don't, in a way, we don't notice it as much as we felt people ought to, and that's why we decided to make a film about the whole thing. Probably the filmmaker that's influenced me the most is probably Stanley Kubrick, if I think back on it. I took 165 clips that didn't make it into the film from all 40 interview subjects and organized them both by person and by topic, so people can go much further on a lot of different subjects, especially on strategies for change. It's funny, you know, corporate America, as reflected in the corporate media, has been very kind to the film. The Wall Street Journal, The Economist, Fortune Magazine, Business 2.0, all these business publications and a lot of business sections in newspapers have given the film really quite positive reviews. I think it's because there's a lot of truth in it. If I had it all to do over again, if I had more money and more time, I guess I would, I'd probably make the film shorter. Corporations are a big problem, and the problem's getting bigger. I think the world's got a lot of problems, but the corporate form and the sort of unbridled greed that the corporation embodies is really at the core of a lot of the problems of the world. I think we just have to look at our own individual skill sets and figure out how we can apply them to fixing the things that bug us most, you know? And just because you can't fix everything doesn't mean you shouldn't do anything. So get to work.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production for nonprofit use.